We're doing the Drashot Aran, one page Shinun Vav in the Masada of Kuk edition, and the Ran said that the Pasuk is actually indicating that just like Hashem made us hear the prophetic vision with our ears, so too Hashem could have given us a picture to see. Hey, we're standing at Sinai. So Hashem could have given us some kind of picture. What do I look like? I'm talking to you. So you hear the sounds of the Torah being given, but you don't see a picture. And what the Pasuk is saying is, Aval nimnamize, Hashem refrained from showing us some kind of vision at Sinai, a vision of Himself. Pentashchitun, lest you destroy by seeing a picture. Kitachshevu la'asot tova le'nafshechem. Because if you would have seen a picture at Sinai of Hashem revealing Himself, then you would have thought to yourself, let me do something good. La'asot pesel kedmut ha'tmunahi. Let me make some kind of figure that's like that vision I saw. Asher item kedei la'ashir zichron ha'dvar le'b'neichem u'l'bnei b'neichem. And you would say, I want to leave something for my children to know what I've seen. Of course I'm going to make a figurine of Sinai, so that my children have something to point to. Just second, v'yimashech mizeh shebneichem sherekumu yavdu atzuhai. But what would happen in time is that over generations people would start worshipping that figure. O yitlu gashmut b'shem yitbarach lezeh. Or people would say, sure, Hashem has a body. You see, my grandfather left me an idol, a statue of what he saw at Sinai, so Hashem has a body. They wouldn't have retained that tradition. This is a representation of the spiritual concept we saw at Sinai. So we don't have artifacts from Sinai. We don't have any pictures. Hashem says, I didn't show you a picture. You heard, but you didn't see, so that you cannot replicate. You cannot make any figurines and say, here, that's what we saw at Sinai. Yes?
In this case, we're talking only about Sinai, right? Sometimes you see in Midrashim that Hashem shows himself. Like, not, he doesn't show himself, but he dresses up. I don't know what to say. Like, I read this Midrash about, I think, Shimon HaTzadik, who was calling Gadol, right? And like on the last time he was calling Gadol, he didn't see an old man next to him. And they said that usually every time he went inside the Kodesh Kodeshim, there was an old man.
So, yeah, even there you have to wonder if it's literal,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The Pasuk in Daniel says, Levushei kitlag chivar, his dress is like white snow, usar reishei, and the hair on his head, is ka'amar neke, like clean wool. It's got a long white lock of hair. Yeah, it doesn't really mean that. Okay.
Do the Christians have this concept? Do they have it from us?
I didn't know they have this concept.
What are they
called on their own? And that's why we find it reiterated time and again. Hashem says, don't go the pagan route. Hashem says, I didn't show you any picture. You have nothing to draw. You have nothing to worship other than me without a picture. And we can understand that there is always this desire to have some physical representation. It's much easier to pray when you feel like I'm praying to that than to pray to something that I don't see. We can understand that if people didn't have a synagogue and people didn't have a Beit HaMikdash and people wanted to connect and they didn't know how, it was very easy to try and create something that would represent that. Even today, people, you find very often that people who want to stay connected do something. So someone who's more learned will wear tzitzit and keep his tzitzit out, and will always feel like, that's my representation of my religiosity. Another person gets attached to his yarmulke. We had a student who walked in here with a mohawk, and he was a chains, he was from a bicycle gang, and he said to me, you should know, I had hair every color under the sun. I had piercings in every part of my body. I wasn't keeping Shabbos or Kashrut or anything. But everywhere I went, I had this little yarmulke on my mohawk, on everything. I wouldn't shave it off, you know. Even though other people in the gang had clean shaven heads, I would not shave off. I always left enough hair to keep my yarmulke attached. And he said to me, I'd walk around with brass knuckles because sometimes people would pick on me for having the yarmulke, so I had to be prepared for them. So he said, but the one thing, I didn't know anything else about being Jewish, but I knew I was Jewish. The yarmulke meant I was Jewish, so I fought for that yarmulke. It didn't matter what I was doing my whole life. That was his Jewishness. What?
It's worse than not wearing yarmulke.
That was his Jewishness. That was his identity. So I'm saying people try to find things to hold on to when they don't know more. Some people, it's the Star of David. There are people who...
I just got a tattoo.
People have Shema right on the neck.
But your comment was interesting. Is it a halul Hashem if you act in that manner with a yam?
He's not asking the question. Back to the Drashot Aran. I don't think that's true halachically, by the way. Let him ask a local Orthodox rabbi. We say the name of Hashem has holiness based on who wrote it, and I'm not sure the guy who wrote the tattoo had any intention. But it might be... Okay, back to the Drashot Aran. So the Torah reiterates, don't make any figure. Mitzurav sha'omot bizmanim makdumim ayun nimshchim achayim me'od. You have to couple to that the fact that we lived in a society where all the nations around us were constantly making figures and worshiping them. Even in the days of the temple, Kmo shamru b'Sanhedrin, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sanhedrin, Ravashi ukiya shlosha melachim v'amar. Ravashi was teaching about three kings. The Mishnah says there are three kings that do not have a portion in the world to come. So the Talmud tells us that Ravashi told the students at the end of the day, Lemachar niftach b'chavraya. Tomorrow we'll talk about our bodies. He meant we'll talk about the kings who don't have a portion in the world to come. So that night, Menashe, who is one of the kings that does not have a portion in the world to come, in the book of Kings in Melachim, Jeremiah describes how Menashe was the cause of the destruction of the temple. He filled Jerusalem with blood of murder. He murdered so much there were streams of blood in Jerusalem because of him. And he was he worshipped every idol under the sun. Every Sefer Torah he could find, he would take out Hashem's name and put in the name of his pagan gods. Bereshit bara, he'd stick in a Zeus or something else throughout. And so Menashe was a serious pagan, even though he did tshuva in the end. It doesn't say it in the book of Kings, but he did. In Chronicles, in Divrei Hayamim, it says. So in the Mishnah, it says Menashe does not have a portion in the world to come. So Ravashi says, we'll talk about our buddies tomorrow. And Menashe comes to him in a dream. Amali my time up palchitun la'avodah zarah. So just second, Ravashi asks him, why'd you worship idols? Amali ihavit ba'udara. Menashe tells him, if you would have lived in my time, naktet b'shipulach, you would have grabbed your cloak, your rabbi's cloak. You would have picked it up to be able to run upalach le to go and worship avodah zarah. Ve'en safek shayaze mitzad rov chochmatam ve'oradat ruchaniyut. The Ran says, why? Because they were so smart that they could actually access forms of spirituality through their paganism. Lo mitzat zichlutam. It's not that they were dummies. There was something to this. Ki resha'im ayu aval lo shotim. They were wicked, but they weren't stupid. So the Ran over here is going against the Rambam, right? The Rambam holds it was all a charlatan, you know. People knew how to fool other people. They could dupe them. But the Ran saying no. The Ran is going the route of the Ramban, of Nachmanides, that they knew how to access the different forces. Ramban. V'zeu shamar katu v'parshat ki tolid banim. And that's what the Torah tells us in the end of Aschanan. Amar it says, v'efitz Hashem etchem ba'amim. Hashem will scatter you among the nations. V'avatem sham Elohim ha'asei de'adam. And over there among the nations, you'll end up worshipping the gods that are made by human hands. It's vevna shalo yirun, stone, wood. They can't even see. V'utemech mapasuk ze ben Yehudei ha'onesh. You have to wonder, why is this pasuk here? The Torah describes the punishments of the Jews when Hashem destroys the temple and they're exiled. Why is this there? Maybe we'll talk after class. We have 1 minute left. Okay, yes.
You said before that he lost his place in Olam Haba, but he did tshuva after that.
Okay, so if he did tshuva, then he does have a portion in the world to come, right?
So what did he say when he lost it?
So that you have to learn the Gemara for. V'nireh shemipnei zeh ha'teima tirgem unkulus et tiflichun taman le'amemaya palchei ta'avata. So he says, unkulus translates, that you will be in the servitude of nations who are pagans, not that you literally, the Jewish people, will worship them. Because then the Torah is describing a punishment, and then it says, and you'll transgress, you'll worship idols. It doesn't seem to work. What's that have to do with the punishment? But the Ran says, I'm not going to go like the Targum. I'm not going to explain like Unkelus. I think the verse, if you understand it simply, is saying something else. If when you are in the land of Israel, you will be destructive and start making idols, figures. And the reason you'll do this because you'll be so smart. You'll figure out how to access all kinds of forces. Till you'll be so confident, which the Navi says happened, that they said, we could access all these forces, we don't need Hashem. So we don't mind if we upset Hashem. Yihiyu ma'aseichem shetiglu ma'artzechem. So then your actions will lead to your exile. Ve'fitz etchem ba'amim. And then you'll be scattered among the nations. Ve'avda chokhmat chachmechem uvinat nevonchem. And then you'll lose all the wisdom you had. U'mipnei sheyeh minag avotichem b'yedichem. Tavdu tatzimim asher lo yiru mehem tzad chokhma. Ve'chul aruchaniyut. Then you'll worship idols that really have no wisdom. When you're in the land of Israel, you'll worship idols that have forces. And then you'll be exiled. And the Navi says, when you'll be exiled, you'll lose the wisdom you had to access those forces through the idols. But your children, you'll witness your children worshiping those idols that have no spirit. Not like the idols you worshipped in Israel because you were so smart. You'll witness your children and grandchildren being complete pagans, worshipping these pieces of stones that there's no logic in worshipping, and you'll see no sign from that. And there's a famous line they say in the name of Ben-Gurion, that Ben-Gurion said, we wanted to raise a generation of apikursim. We wanted our children and grandchildren to deny the Jewish tradition, but to be learned like us. Ben-Gurion quoted Pesukim, he quoted their mind, he said, Be'ezrat Hashem, you know, Ben-Gurion, if you listen to him, you see that he grew up in Cheder, that he had a lot of Yiddishkeit to him. He said, we wanted to bring up our children to be like us. We ended up bringing children who are Amaratzim. They don't know anything. It's not that they know the Tanakh like us and they're just not accepting the Torah. They don't know anything. So the Navi warns, he says, if the people in Israel will worship the idols who... there's a logic. They have a force. They'll see their children and grandchildren worshiping idols that there's no logic. It's just stupid. And we're in the middle of a thought, but we're out of time. Let's do 1 minute of